Did you ever receive a letter in the mail that you just can't wait to open? Of course, in our day with modern technology, I might also reference an email that you can't wait to open because you know who it's from. And you can't wait to hear from them. You can't wait to hear what they have to say. You can't wait for them to share with you some news or important information. Perhaps we feel the same way when we get our income tax refund in the mail. You just can't wait to open it. On the other hand, when you get all those bills that come, you just kind of put them off to the side and open them when you feel they're due and you have to pay. But tonight, let's look at a letter, just a short letter. It's a very personal letter. It's a letter from the Apostle Paul to his good friend Philemon. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to Paul's letter to Philemon. And this comes right after 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. So it would be page number 1169 if you're using the Bibles on the chairs. Paul's letter to Philemon. It is the shortest letter written by the Apostle Paul that we have in Scripture. Paul's letter to Philemon. And as we read this, I want you to consider just before I read it, let's give a little background here. Philemon is a good friend of the Apostle Paul. He lived in Asia Minor, not too far from the city of Colossae. And Philemon had a slave by the name of Onesimus. And I guess Onesimus was not a very happy camper, because one day he decided to steal some money or some possessions for Philemon and run away and make a break for it. And he thought he was going to have a whole new life, have a new fresh start in life. And so he ran away. And he's been gone for some time. And while on the run, he ended up in Rome. And guess who he met? The Apostle Paul, of all people. And you can well imagine he heard the truth of the gospel, all right. And well, God worked in Onesimus' life, and he became a Christian. And he was very helpful to the Apostle Paul. So the Apostle Paul decides that he needs to send Onesimus back to his master, back to Philemon. So Paul writes this letter, and he's sending it with Onesimus. And Onesimus, you take this, and you go back to your master Philemon, and you give it to your master. I would also submit to you that the Apostle Paul probably coached and counseled Onesimus as to what he should say verbally when he gets back and has to confront his master Philemon. So what I see going on here in this letter is the Apostle Paul is, you might say, interceding. He's intervening on behalf of Onesimus. Onesimus is going to have to go back and deal with his master Philemon, but Paul wants to sort of get in the middle here. And he wants to appeal to Philemon and say something to Philemon to help out Onesimus. After all, now, Paul has high regard for Onesimus because Onesimus has become a convert. So I kind of see Paul interceding, intervening, pleading for Onesimus. And it's sort of a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing for you and me before the throne of God. Interceding, intervening, pleading our cause and our case before God the Father. And it's not because we're so good, but it's because Jesus died for us on the cross. In this letter, the Apostle Paul will flat out tell Philemon, Philemon, look, if Onesimus has wronged you, if he owes you anything, says Paul, put that in my account. I'll pay it. I'll pay it in full. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for you and me. He put our faults, our wrongs, our sins, our evils on his account, and he has paid for it in full. Well, let's read this, and then we'll look at this evening. All right, Paul's letter to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but much more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but now much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him, that is, receive Onesimus, as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand, I will repay, not to mention that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's just pause and pray. Lord, we have read your word, and your word is powerful. Your word instructs us. And so, Lord, may we learn much from this short letter written by the Apostle Paul almost 2,000 years ago. May it feed our hungry souls tonight. May we be drawn closer to you, and may we have a better understanding of how we should live out our faith. We ask for Jesus' sake, the one that we seek to honor and glorify with our lives. For his sake we do pray. Amen. Well, put yourself in Philemon's shoes for a moment. You have a slave, he ran away. He betrayed you. He didn't appreciate your goodness and your generosity. He stole something from you. And when you needed him the most, he was nowhere to be found. He just up and left. What a grateful slave Onesimus was. But you put yourself in Philemon's shoes. Now, you could react in any number of ways, especially when Paul is sending him back, and Philemon doesn't know it yet, but Onesimus is going to show up in the door. He's going to knock on the door, and he's going to have a letter in hand from the Apostle Paul. How might you react if you were in Philemon's shoes? You know, there's some Christians that they would go on and on and on about what a poor victim they are, how that they are the victim, how they have been wronged and betrayed. And oh, how could Onesimus do this to me? I've been so terribly wronged. I've suffered some terrible injustice. And they would go on and on and on and just not let it go. We don't want to be like that. Put yourself back in Philemon's shoes. After you read this, what do you think Paul wants you to do? Well, certainly forgive Onesimus. But let's sort of look at the dynamics of all this. You know, what is Paul saying? You know, normally I don't say this when you study the Word of God, but here, let's kind of read between the lines a little bit. You know, Paul is being very tactful. Yeah, he flat out says, you know, I'm not going to order you what to do. I'm not going to boss you around, Philemon. But I'm going to appeal to you. Appeal to you as a brother. I'm going to appeal to you out of love, because whatever you end up doing, I want you to do it because you want to do it. You're doing it voluntarily, not because I, the Apostle Paul, have ordered you to do it. So there's a big lesson to be learned there. So, I think the Apostle Paul is asking Philemon to think about a lot of things. And Paul does not want Philemon to focus on the fact that he had a slave, his slave ran away, his slave wronged him, he robbed him, took some stuff, took some money, and left and betrayed him and was not there to do the job that he was supposed to do and showed no appreciation, gratitude for all of Philemon's goodness to him. Paul does not want Philemon to fixate on that. Rather, the Apostle Paul is trying to get Philemon to look at the big picture. To see the great big picture and to see all of the possibilities that are before him that really ends up making the injustice that Philemon endured really seem kind of small and trivial. So let's consider some things here. Philemon should think about, number one, the importance of love. This is what Paul wants. Paul wants Philemon to think about the importance of love. And after all, isn't our Christian faith primarily about love? We praise God for His love. We thank God for the love that He has showed to us in Jesus Christ. God saves us and delivers us from our sin, our selfishness, and our evil to transform our lives so that we start loving. And we don't have this hatred and jealousy and anger and bitterness in our lives anymore. Notice what the Apostle Paul says to Philemon in verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love. That's what Philemon is known for. Philemon has quite a reputation. He's a man of love. And notice that the Apostle Paul puts love first, then faith. Normally he talks about faith, then love. But here he talks about love first and faith, because the love grows out of the faith. If you have faith, you should have love. If you don't have faith, it's no wonder you don't have love. But he says, we've heard of your love and your faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet toward all the saints, toward all Christians. So kind of get the message here now? Onesimus is now a Christian. Onesimus is now a believer. So Paul is setting up Philemon now and almost implying, yeah, you've got to love Onesimus too. He's part of the household now. And then he goes on and says in verse 6, that the sharing of your faith, now we're talking about Philemon here, that the sharing of Philemon's faith. And we have that word sharing. And sometimes when we think about sharing our faith, the first thing we think about is sort of going off with the mouth. We got to say something. But this word sharing can be very, very broad, very general. It's the communication of our faith. It's the demonstration of our faith. It's the showing of our faith. And you can show your faith with love without ever saying a word. And so Paul is complimenting and commending Philemon for his reputation of being a man of not only faith, but a man of love. And his faith has been well communicated. His faith has been well demonstrated to others. And how do you think he's demonstrated his faith? Through acts of love and acts of compassion and acts of generosity and charity. He says in verse 6 that the sharing, that the communication of your faith may become effective, may have great results, in other words, by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you that's been accomplished by Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we show our faith, when we communicate our faith by doing good things, by showing love, others will have to acknowledge it. And they will have to acknowledge that all this good stuff that's happening in our lives and flowing out from our lives is accomplished none other than by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of like what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works, and then as a result of seeing your good works, they come to glorify your Father who is in heaven." Others will glorify God because of all the good things that are being accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ in and through Philemon. And then in verse 7, the Apostle Paul says, "We have great joy and great consolation and great comfort in your love, because the hearts, the innermost being, the spirits of the saints, the spirits of God's chosen people, the spirits of believers have been refreshed by you, brother." Boy, Philemon has quite a reputation. He's well known for his faith, for his love, for his good deeds, for his generosity, and all the saints know it. By the way, we had a reference that the church meets in his house. That was in the introduction. I would submit to you then that Philemon, probably a fairly well-to-do Christian, he had a large enough house that the believers could meet in his house. He was probably the patron or the supporter of the church in that area. So Paul is asking Philemon to think about the most important virtue to us Christians, love. Remember the Apostle Paul said, now abides three virtues, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these, says the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, his love. So the Apostle Paul has set Philemon up here to make some very important decisions. Think about your faith. Think about your reputation. Think about how others are going to think of you. And think about how the fact that you have to live out your faith and live up to the standard of love. But Paul also asks Philemon to think about something else. He says, think about a willing heart. Notice verse 8. Paul says, I might be very bold in Christ to command you what to do. I might be very bold to command you as to what is fitting or what is appropriate in this particular situation with Onesimus. But Paul says, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to boss you around. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just going to appeal to you. Notice he says in verse 9, yet for love's sake, out of love for you, Philemon, I'm going to appeal to you. And then he says in verse 10, I appeal to you, Philemon, for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten, that is, begotten in the faith. I've helped him become a Christian, is what Paul means by that. I have begotten him while in my chains. And then Paul says in verse 14, but without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by what? By compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. So in the end, whatever Philemon is going to do with respect to Onesimus, the Apostle Paul wants it to be something that Philemon does because Philemon really wants to do it. He really has the deep-seated conviction in his heart that the course of action he is taking is the right course and it's worthy of who he is as a Christian. So I think there's a lesson there. I think God wants us to do things for his name's sake, not because we feel we have to, but because we want to. Having raised four children, sometimes I've heard those infamous words, but Dad, do I have to? Those words that every parent does not want to hear. Oh, I believe God is the same way. God does not want to hear from us, but God, do I have to? Do I have to attend church? Do I have to put money in the offering plate? Do I have to be nice to my neighbor when they're not that nice to me? Lord, do I have to? Well, yeah, I suppose, you know, you don't have to, but boy, it would really be nice if you did. It would really show the genuineness of your faith. God wants us to have an eager and willing heart to do what he wants us to do because we love him and we also understand that his plan is the best plan for our lives. I mean, left to ourselves, we'll mess everything out. But if we go God's way, things will go pretty good. They'll go as well as they can possibly go for us. So I believe Paul wants Philemon to have an eager and willing heart to do what is right and to do what is best. Not just to do what he might do to get by in this situation, but to really make the very best decision in this situation. All right, I believe number three, the Apostle Paul is asking Philemon to consider his priorities. To consider his priorities. So as we read this, what is Paul asking Philemon to consider when he makes a decision with respect to Onesimus? I mean, when Onesimus shows up and knocks on the door, Philemon could take him by the throat and say, look, you owe me money, you stole from me. He could throw him up against the wall and say, pay up or I'm going to put you in jail. He could say that, but that's not what Paul envisions here, is it? Notice that Paul has put the idea in Philemon's mind that, you know, Philemon's been a big help to me, the Apostle Paul. Notice verse 11, he says of Onesimus, Onesimus was once unprofitable to you, Philemon, but now is profitable to you. And what's going to make Onesimus really profitable to Philemon? Philemon's coming back as a Christian. And I would imagine his whole attitude is different now. Oh, before he was obstinate. He wasn't one that liked being told what to do, and he didn't like Philemon and telling him to do this and to do that. And he wasn't very happy. He wasn't very happy about a lot of things in his life. And he made a run for it. He made a break for it. But he's coming back now as a Christian. And Onesimus now understands that he serves the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And he now understands, based on his faith, that he has to serve his earthly master really well. And that means he's going back with a new attitude in terms of dealing with his master Philemon. And so Paul says, yes, now Onesimus is really going to be profitable to you. But notice Paul says also, and to me. Onesimus is going to be profitable to me, the Apostle Paul. He already has been profitable to the Apostle Paul. Verse 12, he says, I'm sending him back to you, therefore receive him as you would receive my own heart. Paul says in verse 13, you know, of Onesimus, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. Do you understand what the Apostle Paul is suggesting there and putting into Philemon's mind? Onesimus is being sent back to Philemon, but now Philemon has heard Paul say, boy, I could really use Onesimus. Onesimus could join me and be here to help me, especially that I'm in chains or I'm in prison and I'm somewhat confined. So maybe that's something that Philemon should take into consideration when he makes a decision as to what to do with Philemon. You see, Philemon's priorities are going to be challenged here. Should he keep Onesimus just for himself to work for him? Or can Philemon perform this great act of goodness and generosity and send Onesimus back to be with the Apostle Paul? And as Paul says in verse 13, so that Onesimus might be with the Apostle Paul, doing for him what Philemon can't do. Philemon is probably well-to-do. Maybe he runs a business near the city of Colossae. He has duties and obligations. He can't up and leave where he is. But Philemon could send Onesimus as his representative to help and assist the Apostle Paul and to do for Paul what Philemon himself can't do. You see how the Apostle Paul is enlarging Philemon's mind and showing him all the possibilities that are before him and asking Philemon, Philemon, don't think small. Philemon, think outside the box. Think of all the things you could be doing with respect to your good slave, Onesimus, who's being returned to you. We also notice in verse 18, Paul says, but if Onesimus has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand, I will repay. Evidently, the Apostle Paul sometimes dictated his letters. He spoke and someone else wrote it down. But the Apostle Paul says this time, no, I'm writing this myself. And since I'm writing it, I'm pledging that I will repay everything that Onesimus owes you. But now notice at the end of verse 19, what does the Apostle Paul put in the mind of Philemon? So I, Paul, am writing to you with my own hand, I will repay. And then he says, not to mention, Philemon, that you owe me even your own self besides. So yeah, okay. Onesimus ripped you off. He stole some money. He stole some of your property and he made off with it. And, you know, if he owes you anything, Paul says, I'll pay it. But Philemon, I want you to think about something. Philemon, you owe me an awful lot. You owe me your whole life. You owe me yourself. Perhaps Philemon became a convert through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And perhaps Paul is trying to remind Philemon about the spirit of gratitude that he should have towards the Apostle Paul. So you know, you see how some of these great Christian virtues are coming to the surface? Love, generosity, gratitude, not holding a grudge, but letting go of the past and starting a new beginning. You see how these are all coming to the surface in this great letter. And then he also puts out the idea in verse 21. Oh, say verse 20. The Apostle Paul says, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart. What do you think the Apostle Paul wants Philemon to do? Forgive Onesimus. Forgive all the debt. Just let it go. And think about, seriously think about sending Onesimus back to be with the Apostle Paul and to help out the Apostle Paul. So he says, brother, look, I need some joy. I need some spiritual refreshment here. I need to be revitalized in my spirit. And Philemon, you can do that. You can do it. Imagine that. God can use me, God can use you to bring some joy and some spiritual refreshment to another Christian. Maybe they're having a hard time. Maybe there's a lot of trials and a lot of pressures. They got a lot of worries in their mind. Maybe they're scrimping and they're scraping. Maybe just life just seems hard and tedious and difficult and monotonous, and life just seems to have a certain drudgery to it. And you and I can be used of God to just bring some joy and some spiritual refreshment to another human being that's part of the body of Christ. You know? Just a simple thing. Just a simple thing. And then the Apostle Paul says in verse 21 to hold out another thought to Philemon, as the Apostle Paul continues to sort of bombard Philemon's mind with all the possibilities. The Apostle Paul says, having confidence in your obedience. So now the Apostle Paul says, I'm confident you'll obey whatever I've said to do. But it's kind of ironic, because the Apostle Paul said, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to boss you around. I'm not going to order you anything. And then at the end, the Apostle Paul says, yeah, I'm absolutely confident you're going to obey what I've said. Boy, talk about some irony. So Paul says in verse 21, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than what I say. Boy, you know, every boss, every supervisor, every employer would love to have all their employees lined up that are just chafing at the bit to do more than whatever they're ordered to do. You know, I love working with people that are not minimalists, but are maximists. I don't know if there's such words as that, but people who just love to do the maximum rather than do the least amount to get by. When your kids go to school, don't do the least amount of work to get by. Don't just work and do your report and say, well, I'll be happy if I get a D. Is there any honor in a D? No, you do your best. Why? Because God deserves. God made you. And if God has given you a good mind, use it for His name. I don't care what you're studying. Whatever you're studying, do it. Do your best. If you're playing sports, whether it's track or basketball or whatever it is you like to do, do your best. I try to do my best, and sometimes I'm very disappointed. I don't feel doing a very good job at times. But whatever you do in life, try to do your best. And Paul says, oh, Philemon, I'm absolutely sure you're going to obey everything I've said, and then you're going to go way beyond all of that. You see all the things that Philemon has to think about now? Another thing, number four, I'll try to move right along here. Number four, this is something else that Paul challenges Philemon to think about, and that is to think about the worth or the value of Onesimus. Think about the worth and the value of your runaway slave. And here I want us to think about the worth and the value of other people. How do you see other people? How is Philemon supposed to view Onesimus when he shows up? Oh, you miserable, wretched, good-for-nothing slave, you ran away! No! That's not how he's supposed to see Onesimus. He's supposed to see Onesimus in all new light. Notice what the text says. Verse 11 again, Onesimus was unprofitable to you. I suppose if he runs away and you don't have your slave, you're not getting a good return on your investment, are you? But now that Onesimus is a Christian, he is profitable to you, Philemon. He's also profitable to me, the Apostle Paul. I'm sending him back to you. So Paul says, receive, welcome Onesimus, that is, welcome him as you would welcome and receive my own heart. Paul says in verse 17, if you count me as a partner, if you count me as a comrade, if you count me as one who is a co-laborer in the cause of Christ, then Philemon, you receive Onesimus just as you would receive me. You see, Philemon is to look at Onesimus differently now. Just look back, if you will, look back at verse 15. For perhaps, Paul says, for perhaps Onesimus departed from you, Philemon, for a little while for this purpose, that you might receive him back forever. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that Onesimus is going to live forever or forever be Philemon's slave, but it does mean he has been received back forever as a brother in Christ. Notice the next verse, verse 16. Onesimus is no longer a slave, but he's much more than a slave. He's a beloved brother. He's part of the household of faith. He's a Christian now. His life's been changed. It's been transformed. And he's going to be especially helpful to me, says the Apostle Paul, but also much more so to you, Philemon, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So it'd be helpful to Philemon in terms of whatever Philemon wants him to do in terms of work or business, but it'll also be helpful in the cause of Christ as well. So again, the Apostle Paul is trying to get Philemon to see all of the possibilities here and to really think outside the box. So he's being asked to receive and to welcome Onesimus back. Paul says again in verse 18, if he owes you anything, I'll repay, and so on and so forth. So it's important that we see the value in other people. Everyone has worth. Even other unbelievers have worth. Everyone has worth. We Christians have worth, great worth, because when redeemed by the shed blood of Christ, we belong to God, and God is working in all of our lives, and God is doing great things through us if we only let Him. But I notice in this letter, number 5, Paul wants Philemon to think about Paul and Paul's situation. I couldn't help but notice 5 times the Apostle Paul refers to himself as a prisoner, or he has chains. Now, why do you suppose Paul does that? Because Paul wants Philemon to be somewhat sympathetic to the Apostle Paul and to his situation. And he, after all, you remember, Paul has put in Philemon's mind the idea that when Onesimus comes back, you can send him back to me, the Apostle Paul, and have him help me. So notice verse 1. Paul is what? A prisoner of Christ Jesus. Some people think that Paul was in prison in Rome at the time. So that's the first reference there. Paul is a prisoner. It comes out again in verse, I believe, 9. Verse 9. Yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So that's the second reference. Verse 10. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, while in prison, while in jail. And then there's a reference in, I believe it's verse 13, whom I wish to keep with me, referring to Onesimus, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. You see how the Apostle Paul keeps holding out there to Philemon, boy, I'm in jail, I'm in jail, I'm in prison, I'm a prisoner for Jesus Christ, I'm in chains because of the gospel. And hopefully Philemon can help do something about Paul's dilemma. And then there's one more reference, verse 22. He says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you. So I submit to you that Epaphras is in jail along with the Apostle Paul. So the Apostle Paul is trying to garner some sympathy here. And then also the Apostle Paul says, I am now Paul the aged. I'm getting old. I have needs now. And Onesimus can be a big help. So Paul is trying to gather and garner some sympathy here. And then one final point I'd like to make tonight is when the Apostle Paul gives this letter to Philemon, one other thing he says, number 6, Philemon, you got to measure up. You got to measure up. There's something to measure up to. Paul has held all of these things out to Philemon, and now Philemon has to do something about it. So one of the things that Philemon has to measure up to is Paul's final concluding words. Brother, let me have some joy from you. Refresh my heart. So now Philemon is sort of in an awkward situation now. Because Paul has said, boy, you got to refresh my heart. You got to give me some joy, brother. I need some joy. So now Philemon has to measure up to that standard. He's got to measure up and make Paul a happy camper. And then he said, you know, I know you're going to obey everything I've said, but I know you're going to go above and beyond and do more than I say. Oh, Philemon, I got to measure up to that. I got to measure up to that standard. I got to surprise the Apostle Paul here. I got to do something that goes above and beyond what the Apostle Paul is even suggesting here. And then there's something else Philemon has to measure up to. Remember the opening verses where Paul says, boy, I thank my God, making mention of you in my prayers as I remember your faith and your love. Philemon, your love and your generosity and your good deeds are just spoken far and wide among the saints. Philemon's got to measure up to that now. Philemon's got a lot of measuring up to do because Paul has set the bar very, very high. So, I think of the mandate in the New Testament. Be kind, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ Jesus has forgiven you all of your sins. How can we do anything less than forgive Onesimus? And yet Philemon is being asked to see the potential in Onesimus. He's not just a slave coming back to report for duty, now as a Christian with a new heart. Onesimus has great potential to serve the cause of Christ and to be a great help to the Apostle Paul. And even to put a little more pressure on Philemon, Paul says in verse 22, but meanwhile, Philemon, also prepare a guest room for me because I'm going to show up and we're going to meet face to face. Boy, Don't you just love it when a relative calls and says, get a guest from ready, I'm coming? Paul has just said, Philemon, I'm coming. I'm coming. We're going to have a good time together. But in the meantime, I'm sending Onesimus with this letter. So you're going to deal with Onesimus appropriately. May God help us to be full of love and generosity and good works. And may God help us to see all of the possibilities before us, not only with our own lives, but in the lives of other people. We ought not to put God in a box. Paul is asking Philemon, think big. Think big. Take a big view. Have a big perspective. May God fill us not only with faith, but love as well. Let's pray and let's ask God to help us to apply this great letter to our lives as well. Lord God, we thank you for your word. And oh Lord, it's good to read your word. It's good to be refreshed by the word of God. And Lord, your word is so helpful to us. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to get rid of any bitterness, anger, resentment, any animosity towards others. And Lord, just fill our lives not only with faith, but with the expression of faith, love. And Lord, may others truly see that you are working in our lives as our lives are transformed. And Lord, as Paul encourages Philemon to see all of the possibilities before him as he has to make a decision with reference to his runaway slave Onesimus, Lord, help us to see all of the possibilities that you have put right under our nose. And Lord, help us to seize the day to make the most of our lives, but our lives are really belong to you. Our lives are really in your hands, Lord. We're committed to you. So Lord, you make the most of our lives for your sake, that your name might be forever praised. Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. We ask this for Jesus' sake, to whom be praise through us in our lives throughout all eternity. Amen.